Well, good morning, everyone. Time to continue our study in Proverbs, wisdom from God, as we try and glean as much as we can. Become wiser today than we were yesterday and continue that process. So, the marker that I put, to be honest, I didn't move my marker last week. So I asked my lovely wife, and she said, I think we finished number 13. So we did finish number 13, so we're starting at number 14. Oh, good. I was going to say, unless there's any arguments. So.
And I listened to the recording, and that's what you said.
Okay. So we finished 13. We're on to 14. Of what does wisdom speak? But let's go ahead and focus our attention on Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8 is where we are now. I think what I'd like to do is just go ahead and read the whole chapter. Get our minds in the right place before we start. Pardon me? Proverbs chapter 8. And Claire's sitting over there with her brand new Bible. The pages are sticking together. You didn't bring it? Oh. Okay. Yeah. She's having the same problem that you have when you buy a brand new Bible, is the pages stick together. Right on the gold paint on the outside of it. Okay. Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out. To you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed. When he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Okay, there's a whole lot of wisdom packed into that chapter. We have the personification of wisdom, where wisdom is speaking directly at us. And so as we focus our attention on verses 6 through 9, that's where these questions for number 14, of what does wisdom speak? Proverbs 8, 6 through 9. So, there are 8 things listed in the question of what does wisdom speak, A through H. Anybody for A?
I will speak noble things.
What do you got?
I will speak noble things.
Speak noble things. I will speak noble things. I've got a reference at Proverbs 22. Look over at Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 17. Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 17. It's a similar passage. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you, have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you? The excellent things there, I believe, is either the same word or a similar word to noble in verse. So excellent things in verse 20. Does your other translations say excellent? It does. Have I not written to you excellent things? So, wisdom, of what does wisdom speak? Noble things, excellent things. I'm trying to remember the other verse. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So, noble things, excellent things. These are things that wisdom brings about and helps us to focus our attention on the good things. Anything else on A? Carolyn?
I just looked up the word noble because I immediately think of like nobility and, you know, aristocracy, things like that. But so I looked up the word, possessing outstanding qualities, famous, notable, and then aristocratic, high birth, higher excellent qualities or properties, grand or impressive, and I really like this one, characterized by or arising from superiority of mind or character or of ideals or morals, lofty. So something that's above and beyond anything else.
Makes perfect sense. Where'd you get that from?
Webster.
That's Webster. Yeah. But just the definition of noble.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds right. Listen, for I will speak noble things. And then the next thing. B?
Truth.
So, the noble things and the opening of my lips. Now, did you get that from verse 7?
Yeah.
Okay. I got truth down for C, but for B I put right things as the second half of verse 6. The opening of my lips will reveal right things.
It's a repetition of the first
thing. Yeah. Yes. But it's a different word. So, noble things and right things, I suppose you could say they're the same. What'd you say, Linda?
That's the reason why there's 8 and 4 verses.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm just... I didn't put this lesson together, but I'm trying my best to follow the, you know... what's his name? Paul Cantrell. I put it together. I'm trying to figure out what he meant when he said there's 8 things, so... right things, I put Proverbs 23:15. If you look at Proverbs 23, Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. I don't know if your translation says that too, but speaks what is right. So Proverbs is talking about wisdom. What does wisdom speak? It speaks right things. It speaks noble things. And then C, I've got truth, which Richard has for B. But either way, truth. So it speaks truth. Wisdom speaks truth. These are sort of synonyms when we talk about God. You know, all the attributes of God Almighty. God is love. God is truth. God is wisdom. All of these are just attributes that spring from God. If we want to be like God, we want to have these attributes too. We want to grow in truth. We want to grow in wisdom. We want to grow in love. These are things that we should constantly be growing in. And that's why we put our nose in the book, because that's where we get it. So, yes, truth. I've got parallel passages. Psalm 37:30. Look over at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The mouth, somehow I thought there was a truth in there, but Psalm 37:30. And again, sometimes I have trouble reading my own writing. Psalm 37:30. Well, that's what I wrote. Well, it doesn't contradict it, that's for sure. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. So, if wisdom's going to help us in speaking truth, Ephesians 4, one of Mickey's favorite places to go. I mean, he was here for 30-some-odd years, so kind of get used to some of his patterns. But Ephesians 4 was one of Mickey's favorite places to go. But specifically, Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto him, into him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love is, I guess you can focus your attention over at verse, same chapter, but jump over to verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Then he says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. The instructions are full of contrast. Not this, but this. Not this, but this. So he says, don't lie, tell the truth. But he's also talking to Christians, talking to people who should know this already. And they've already been taught this already. But he's teaching them again because repetition is the key to education. Over and over and over. But when he says speaking the truth in love, that's part of a sentence too. In verse 14 he says, actually starting in verse 11, And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So again, it's Paul's way of teaching not this but that. So we're in Ephesians 4. I mean, we're actually studying Proverbs, but right now we're reading from Ephesians 4. So speaking the truth in love, one of the things that wisdom brings to us is the truth. Also, while we're in the New Testament, go over to 1 Peter 1 and look at verse 22. 1 Peter 1. And verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. You'll notice in verse 22, he says, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. The truth is not just something you believe, it's something we're expected to obey. It says, in obedience to the truth. Now, if you're wondering what the truth is that you're supposed to obey, look at verse 25. The word of the Lord. That's the truth. That's what we need to obey. So, obedience to the truth. Also, unless somebody else has another passage you'd like to look at, I'll give you another one. 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3. Tempted to read the whole chapter, but I won't. 1 John 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. It's something that's recognizable. It's something you can practice. When when it says, let us not love with word or with tongue, it's not saying you shouldn't tell somebody you love them, but you should show them. Because it says, in deed and in truth. How do we show our love towards somebody? It is the things that we do. You know. Say it again. Actions speak louder than words. Absolutely. Yeah. So as wisdom leads us to the truth, that's something that we practice. Something that we know for sure, but we need to practice it as well. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. This is in the middle of a narrative about, it's a prophecy. The lawless one that says will be revealed in verse 8, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. We're not going to go into what that might be. Some people think it's the Catholic Church. Could very well be. Could have been Caesar. Could have been, there's a number of people it could be. But when he gets to verse 10, he says, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Well, yeah, the wicked are going to perish. But then he says, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So the truth is not only something we know, it's not only something that we need to obey, but here it tells you, you have to love the truth or you won't be saved. The truth is something we need to love. What is the truth? The truth is God's word. So that's what we need to love. We need to love God's word and want it to guide our lives. But when he says, do not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, keep reading. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be all that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So we've got the love of the truth. We've got obedience to the truth, knowledge of the truth. Now it says, believe the truth. Those who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. One more verse. But we should always give thanks to God for you, beloved, brethren. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And we have something else in the truth. The truth is rich. The truth is God's word. And it tells us we need to love the truth. We need to believe the truth. We need to have faith in the truth. That makes sense? And that goes hand in hand with the wisdom that we're talking about in Proverbs. It's the wisdom that brings about truth. Back to Psalm and look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, of course, is the psalm that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. And he was feeling especially bad. Contrite sinner's prayer for pardon is what my subheading says. But Psalm 51, look at verse 6. It says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. And I know different translations read differently for that verse. If I remember, innermost being said something else, doesn't it? Somebody's version said something different.
Inward parts.
Yeah. Something God desires in us is truth. And so as we grow in wisdom, we need to be growing in truth. One more passage that we can move on to D, but I've got Proverbs 23:23. So back to Proverbs, and look at 23:23. It's another one that Mickey used to say all the time. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy truth and do not sell it. It's a way of saying gain it but don't lose it. So I don't think we can buy truth. Unless you go buy a Bible, then you're buying truth. But listen to your father who begot you. That's verse 22. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. So, this is something that we want to commit to our own character, is truth. We want to be truthful. We want to be known as being truthful people. And that comes with wisdom. Any other thing on C? Of what does wisdom speak? For D, I've got... What do you got? Anything?
In the counting of these...
You're right.
I put not wickedness. And you mentioned earlier, I forgot which verse we were reading, but the contrast. And so it's... not only are you speaking truth, but you're not to speak of wickedness. And I believe the next verse is also similar. Do this, not this. So I put not wickedness for the... Just make
a count, I just wrote wickedness and abomination. Wisdom speaks of wickedness as being an abomination.
Well, it says, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. In other words, there shouldn't be any wickedness coming out of my lips.
Yes.
It's a foreign thing.
Yeah, and like you said, it goes with the next verse, utterances of my mouth. Not this, but that. Not wickedness, but righteousness. So, big contrast there. Proverbs 6:16 is the parallel passage I've got there. 6:16 through 19. Proverbs 6:16 says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. So these are the things that are listed as an abomination to God. And that's, like I said, it's a parallel passage because it's talking about wickedness is an abomination to my lips. There are a lot of things listed in scriptures as being an abomination to God. Proverbs 6 just lists 7 of them. But when you look at what's an abomination to God, haughty eyes, what does that mean?
A proud look,
yeah, pride. Haughty eyes is a proud look. A lying tongue, there's no question about what that means. Revelation 21:8 is a list of who's not going to go to heaven. Revelation 21, verse 8, and I used to have it committed to memory, not anymore. It'll come back. For the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The thing about Revelation 21:8 is it says all liars. Doesn't say a few of them. Doesn't say, you know, only people who committed the worst lies. White liars are fine. It doesn't say that. It says all liars are going to burn in the lake of fire. So a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, hands that shed innocent murderers, this is a go-to verse against abortion. I mean, hands that shed innocent blood, wouldn't that be an abortion doctor? What sin has that baby ever done? But there's bloodshed. And, of course, whoever paid him to do it is also guilty. Heart that devises wicked plans. People sit around and think about wicked things to do. It's an abomination to God. People sit around and think about, how am I going to break God's law? And, of course, they may not even be thinking about God's law. They're not thinking about it at all. They just want to go out and do what they want to do. Feet that run rapidly to evil. And a false witness who utters lies. They're
seeking it. They're looking for something evil. And then they're... lying is mentioned earlier, but this is... maybe intensified to another level.
A false witness is somebody who swears under oath that I'm telling the truth. Lying. And then they lie. Yeah. They swear to God, and then they lie in the name of God. So, yeah, it's an abomination. And one who spreads strife among brothers. So these are all things that are an abomination to God. Yes?
American Standard Version, there at the last half of 19, it says, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Soweth discord. Planting seeds.
Yeah. We've seen some of those.
We have. We have seen people who spread strife and plant discord. So discord. Anyway, so wickedness is an abomination to God. For E, I put righteousness because it's right in the next, it's in the next verse. Back to Proverbs 8. The utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. So these are things that wisdom speaks. Wisdom speaks. Righteousness. The utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. Now I'm having trouble reading my writing. Second Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22. I'm gonna have to get one of those little rubber thumb things. To get where I'm going here. Yes.
No, we could read Timothy 2:22 if you like.
Yeah. Would you like to read that one?
I would
help you. Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. 2 Timothy 2:22.
be also useful with all righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Depend upon the Lord out of a pure heart.
So this chapter, or this verse in this chapter, flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness. Is that what you've got? Yours read a little bit different, but
2 Timothy 2:22.
Yeah.
Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Yeah. So yours says following righteousness and faith, love, peace. I've got pursuing righteousness, same thing. Something we chase after. We want to be righteous. And God reveals His righteousness to us in the Scriptures. So we can go to Scriptures and find out how to be righteous. You know, the righteous will be saved. And we want to be among the saved, so we want to be righteous. And how do we know how to be righteous? We read what God says. And we practice what God says. While you're in 2 Timothy, jump over to to chapter 3, 16 to 17. Who wants to read that one? You got that one, Noah?
Yeah, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
That's 17, too.
The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
This verse is so important. This is just such an important passage that tells us the value of God's Word. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. For training in righteousness. Training is something you do over and over. Ask an athlete. Does an athlete getting ready for a marathon, do they just get up one day, never having practiced, and take off running for 26 miles? No. They've done marathons when they were training. That's how athletes train. Musicians train. You don't just get up and play a concert in front of somebody, never having practiced. Well, righteousness is something that we need to practice as well. And that's what this is talking about. Training in righteousness. And how do we train? We're taught how to train by Scripture. Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. That's what we're doing right now. We're teaching and learning from the Scriptures for reproof. That means when you're doing something wrong, the Scriptures tell you that what you're doing is wrong, that they're reproving you. The Scriptures reprove us. And then for correction, not only is that wrong, but here's the right way. So not this, but this. And then training is continual training. Go ahead, Noah.
And this contradicts strongly people that think, you know, the Holy Spirit guides me and my beliefs. And God tells me what to do. And, you know, it's like, no. This is how you learn right here.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more, because experiences that I've had in talking to people who consider themselves to be religious, and they honestly believe that God speaks directly to them. I mean, outside of the Scriptures, God does speak directly to all of us in the same exact way. And it tells you right here what it is. All Scripture is inspired. So we go to the Scriptures for inspiration. This is where the Holy Spirit inspired those writers to write these words down so that we can learn from them and have the, you know, profit from them, as it says in this verse. But what you said, Noah, is so true. There's so many people who just feel the right thing. They say, I know this is right because it's the right, it feels right. Or I know I'm saved because I feel saved. I've heard that before too. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I suddenly knew I was saved. I've heard that. People say that. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells us how we can be saved. Yeah. Well, and there's nothing wrong with praying every day either. In fact, that's something we should be doing.
When you're not
saved. Yeah, but
no, when you're not saved, you pray every day.
They think they're going to pray their way into heaven.
Yeah, personal relationship.
Right. Yeah. So, talking about righteousness, look at Philippians 3, 7. And following. That's what I put. Yeah, 7 through 11. 7 through 11. So Philippians 3, 7 through 11. It's a lengthy one. I'll just read it. But whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In verse 9, he talks about the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So this is not a righteousness, he says in the early part of verse 9, not a righteousness of my own derived from the law. Well, nobody was righteous according to the law, because in order to be righteous according to the law, you had to keep it. You had to keep every single part of it. If you sinned against the law, you were no longer righteous. And so the righteousness that we have, which comes from God on the basis of faith, and then he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. If we're following Christ, then we go to the scriptures to find out how to be righteous. And we want to be more like Jesus, because he is the perfect example of righteousness. And I know I go to this passage quite a bit, but when Jesus was in the garden, and on the night he was betrayed, on the night before he was arrested and taken away and crucified, he knelt down to God and he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And yet not my will, but your will be done." Well, the profundity of that statement is, it's incomprehensible. It is comprehensible, but it's just so strong that we see that Jesus, the humanity of Christ, he was a man who didn't want to die. Just like all of us. Nobody wants to die. If you want to die, there's something wrong with you up here. Because everybody wants to live. And Jesus wanted to live. And yet, in his statement, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." He said, "Not the will of me as a man, but you as the Father. I'm going to do your will." And that's the example that he set for us. So if we want to be righteous like Jesus was righteous, we need to set our will aside and say, "Not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to do what you want, not what I want." So that's the righteousness that we need to pursue as we pursue righteousness. Any other comments about E? That's what I've got for 14E is righteousness. Back to this bookmark. Back to 8, and we're doing 6 through 9. And the next thing I've got listed for F is, yours might read a little bit different, but I put nothing crooked or perverted. And I got that from verse 8. The utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. Nothing or anything crooked or perverted out of our mouths. Keep your finger there, because we're coming right back. But look at Proverbs 11. Look at verse 3. Proverbs 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them." So what are we talking about when we're talking about crooked or perverted?
Blasphemous. Treacherous is the same thing.
Yeah, treacherous, blasphemous.
You know, when we think of something perverted, it's like totally wrong, obviously, way out there. But when we think crooked, we've all hung a picture, you can be just a little off. And it's, you know, you can be a little bit crooked and it's not straight. So it doesn't matter if it's a little bit off or a lot off. It's off.
Yeah, and crooked is where we get the word crook. You know, some of us are old enough to remember when the president said, "I am not a crook. I am not a crook." Yeah, crooked, perverted. Anything other than the right way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If you're not following Jesus, you're not going the right way. You're not on your way to heaven. Crooked or perverted is teaching something other than the truth. If you're, or practicing something other than the truth. Click, click.
5 minutes.
Oh, that was the bell?
That's right, 5 minute bell.
Okay, 5 minute bell.
It says click, click now.
Oh, it does. Click, click. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 20. Proverbs 17, verse 20 says, "He who has a crooked mind, he who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil." That's probably the easiest way to tell if somebody has a crooked or perverted mind is because of the words coming out of their mouth. You know, the words that come out of our mouths reveal what's in our mind, or our heart, as it were. Did you have something?
I'm just going to read you the American Standard Version.
Okay. What's the American Standard Version?
It says, "He that hath a wayward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief." So the wording is
slightly different.
Yeah.
Yours didn't have, it starts verse 20.
It says wayward instead of crooked.
Wayward. A wayward mind.
Wayward heart.
A wayward heart. I got a crooked mind. A wayward heart is a crooked mind.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Off.
Yeah, but it's off.
Right. I just found that it was, the wording was so different that
it is. It is. A wayward heart. But wayward heart, crooked mind, perverse language.
Perverse tongue. Yeah.
Perverse tongue. My mind's got language. But if you have a perverted tongue, then you're not speaking truth, or you're speaking a perversion of the truth. You know, Galatians chapter 1 talks about a different gospel. Galatians chapter 1, 6-9 says, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Well, a distortion of the gospel, that's a perversion. Distortion is a perversion.
In the garden, Satan was only off by one word.
That's right, in the Garden of Eden. Satan, when he lied to Eve, he said, "You shall not surely die." What did God say? "You shall surely die." And Satan said, "You shall not surely die." Just take one word to pervert the truth. And, you know, the rest of this verse in Galatians 1, in verse 8, says, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he's to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I still striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." So we need to be careful that we're not perverting the gospel when we teach it. Go ahead, Noah.
Oh, and like verse 9, how he repeats it again.
Yeah.
Means like, to me, it means it's very important. And that just makes me think of all these preachers out there, or pastors, or whatever, that are just spreading whatever they want, man, Jesus.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and it's no different than it was, you know, when you're reading through the Old Testament, you realize that there were prophets, you know, so-called prophets, that would prophesy for money. Here's some money. This is what I want to hear. And they would do it. They would be considered prophets, prophesying for money. And priests that would overlook sin because money, people would pay them. And that goes on today as well. People are paid to preach the perversion of the gospel. So, I think that's all the notes I've got for that one. Nothing crooked or perverted. For G, I put understanding. So we're back in Proverbs 8. Is it time? I guess we'll pick up at G next time.